Welcome to The Bookmonger. I'm John J. Miller of National Review. Thanks for listening. This show is a production of National Review, and we're recording from the studio of WRFH, the campus radio station of Hillsdale College. Our guest is David L. Roll, author of Ascent to Power, How Truman Emerged from Roosevelt's Shadow and Remade the World. David, welcome to The Bookmonger.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Who was Harry Truman, and what was happening in the world on April 12th, 1945, when President Franklin Delano Roosevelt died?
Truman was a senator there for a few minutes. After the senator, he became the vice president that had been by FDR before he died on April 12th, 1945. So Truman was supposed to be, he should have educated himself during the 82 days that he was the vice president, because everybody knew Roosevelt was probably going to die during that period. They said that, you know, Roosevelt was that Truman was an accidental president. Not so. Roosevelt's death was expected. His doctors told him that he would not survive a fourth term, but he ran anyway and he won. So he was fully aware, possibly in denial, but he was aware of his situation. Truman should have prepared himself, and Roosevelt should have asked people in his administration to help him get prepared. But on April 12, 1945, Truman was clueless. And just think about what he faced the moment after he became president. He faced a global war. He faced increasingly hostile Soviet Union. He faced the onset of the nuclear age, the existence of the bomb. He already knew about the bomb, incidentally. Lots of historians have said he didn't know that until Stimson told him after he was president. But he knew it because Roosevelt told him about it at a meeting in August 18, 1944. Roosevelt told him, but that's it. He never went into the details. And Truman actually already knew about the bomb because, as a senator, he had a committee that investigated the defense industry, and it was well known by the investigators on that committee.
So Truman knew about the bomb, and of course, dropping the bomb on Japan later that year in 1945 is an early notable decision of his presidency. You also note in the book that Truman made quick decisions, unlike FDR, who tended to wait and agonize. But Truman was a quick decider, a decisive guy. How did he come to the decision to drop the bomb? Should he have done it?
You'll find this perhaps surprising, but Truman did not actually make a decision to drop the bomb. There's no record of that. As Leslie Groves, the head of the Manhattan Project, said, Truman's decision, if you could call it that, was to not interfere with the issue of dropping the bomb. He regarded it as FDR's legacy. FDR people assumed that FDR would drop the bomb or detonate the bomb over Japan once it became available. And I think that FDR's legacy was on Truman's mind from the beginning. Groves said, you know, that it was non-interference, and it's basically his decision was to not upset the existing plan for using the bomb in Japan. In other words, he basically, he could have said no, and he's probably the only person that could have said no and made it stick.
He surely was responsible, though. He was the president. He could have called it off.
He could have called it off, and that would be the decision. And yes, he did take responsibility for it. And of course, there was that famous meeting with after the bomb was dropped in the Oval Office that was in the movie.
The Oppenheimer movie, you mean? Yeah. There's an important scene in the movie between those two. And it suggests Truman took full responsibility, you know, according to the movie, and had no regrets.
Yes, he didn't look back. He did not look back. And that was a characteristic of his. Truman, you know, he did make snap decisions at the beginning, but in my view, he learned his lesson. He became more deliberative later on. But I don't think, you know, it's hard to even characterize a decision by him. It was basically saying, I'm not going to say no. He was surrounded by people that all of course, the entire national security apparatus at the time, all of the FDR leftovers wanted that bomb to be dropped.
He ran for election then in his own right as president in 1948. He was a big underdog, at least was perceived to be a big underdog, and he won. He defeated the Republican Thomas Dewey. How'd he do it?
I read all the speeches that he made during his campaign. He had two different times when he whistle-stopped throughout the nation. But in the fall campaign, he was way behind, according to the polls, most of the time. But, you know, he was a showman when he really got going. People liked him. He told wild tales. In a sense, he was like Trump. He electrified the crowd with his demagoguery. He told lies, big lies, about the GOP and their attitude toward farming. He really made his mark in Iowa and Ohio with the farmers, his famous speeches. And he electrified the crowd, and they started calling him, you know, give him hell, Harry. They egged him on. He said things like the Wall Street gluttons of privilege. He never mentioned Dewey's name. He hit the GOP Congress, the 80th Congress, and it was Clark Clifford who really had that insight. Attacked the Congress, the do-nothing Congress. It was a Republican, both in the Senate and the House. So he just went after the 80th Congress all the time. He actually caused the Congress to have a joint session because their platform and their convention made a lot of promises about what they would do. So he said, all right, let's make sure they go through with their promises. So on Turnip Day, which is in July, he called the joint session together, and they didn't pass hardly anything. He knew they wouldn't. So he had that to campaign on, the do-nothing Congress.
Let's wrap up with one more question. What are the lessons of the Truman presidency for us now? Are there lessons in statesmanship? Are there lessons in how to run for the presidency or how to retain the presidency? What can we learn from this guy and his example now in 2024?
Aside from his character, which is sincerity, authenticity, he said what he meant what he said. He was a straight shooter. But the lesson, you know, I think today is really, I think the most important speech he ever made during his time as president was in early 1947, when the communists were trying to overrun Turkey and Greece. And it was kind of like the situation we have today with Ukraine. The communists were running it. And he made a speech and said, our foreign policy from this point forward is to assist peoples who are being subjugated to autocratic regimes or to autocratic ideologies. He didn't say Soviet Union, but that's what it was. And that became the foreign policy, for better or for worse, until today. And we still have assisted peoples who were being challenged. And today it's Ukraine. That's now in question. We don't know what's going to happen with the Congress today. But that policy was his policy. And it was sparked by Clark Clifford. He was instrumental. And the other thing that happened at that point was that he had a Republican Congress, but the foreign policy people were headed up by Arthur Vandenberg, Michigan senator, who was an isolationist during World War II, but became an internationalist. And he was key to Truman's success with Congress and with the world.
The author is David L. Roll. The book is Ascent to Power, How Truman Emerged from Roosevelt's Shadow and Remade the World. David, thanks for joining us on The Bookmonger.
Thank you, John.
Thanks to all of you for listening. If you enjoyed this show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help new listeners discover us, and it helps us keep this show going. We'll be back next week with a new episode of The Bookmonger.